Happy Christ the King Sunday, as we recognize that our true leader, our true King, is Jesus of Nazareth, who is also the eternal Son of God. We have a beautiful description of this truth from our reading from Colossians. Paul has a very high Christology, very detailed description of how Jesus is the ruler of heaven and earth, and through whom all things were made. He has this wonderful description of us under his kingship, where we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of this world, into the kingdom of God and the kingdom that which is to come. There's some really deep phrases that don't even really make sense, that Jesus is the image, or Christ is the image of the invisible God. How can you have an image of something that is invisible? That is the glory and this transcending truth of who Jesus is for us. He's called the firstborn of all creation, and of course, we were born into time, just as Jesus was, but the Christ was not born into time. But as the second person of the Holy Trinity, the eternally generated Son of God that has no beginning and has no end, and why he calls himself the Alpha and the Omega. In Jesus is the fullness of God. The fullness of God dwells in this person of Jesus, who is fully human. He bears our humanity, but also bears not just the image of God, but the fullness of who God is, now both God and man in his divine nature. Through Jesus, God wants to reconcile all things, not just believers, but all people, all creation. In fact, Paul will say elsewhere that all creation groans for its redemption. And finally, he gets very practical, that we have this peace and we have this daughtership and sonship and this royal status through the blood on the cross. It was through that crown of thorns that made him bleed that we now can wear these crowns that we cast before the King. What Paul describes with these really lofty words and description, Luke illustrates by a beautiful story. A story that seems just the opposite of what a king would endure. Mocking, dismissing him, putting a sign above him that dehumanizes him, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This is his earthly description and a mockery of his claim to be king, just of the Jews, the sign says. It's from this place of humility and suffering that Jesus shows his scepter. And he doesn't wrap them over the head with his gavel, but he proclaims forgiveness like a good king would do. He has mercy and compassion on the same people that have betrayed him and have given him up for dead. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And I know that we've talked about this in times past, but it's worth repeating that sin isn't just the things that we do or think or say, but it's the power that has overcome us first. So Jesus is asking for mercy based on the ignorance of the people that crucified him. Not to say that they're innocent, but they truly do not know the depths to which they have fallen and what they've done. And the same could be said of us. We often say things and do things and think things that are far worse than we can even imagine in their outcomes and the damage and the harm and the hurt that we do. And yet Jesus says, forgive them, forgive us. God wants to forgive us even if we don't deserve it. That's a kingly edict. And the second edict comes to this criminal of a different kind, this criminal that's also hanging there. Presumably they were both mocking Jesus. In another gospel it says they were, but the one thief repents. And he says, we're being crucified, our death sentence is justified because we have done evil things. Probably they were insurrectionists, and they probably killed Roman citizens in Jerusalem, which was sadly a common thing in Jesus' day. And so they were being executed for high-level crimes. And this criminal says, but Jesus, he hasn't done anything wrong. He recognized his righteousness, he recognized Jesus' sonship, and he recognized that Jesus is the eternal king. And so, as a king, this criminal asks, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Words that we often hear right before we pray the Lord's Prayer, like we'll hear later this morning. When a king remembers one of his subjects, he's not just remembering, bringing to recollection that person, but recognizing them publicly, lifting them up along with Jesus being lifted up to glory that he will ultimately fulfill, just as Jesus tells him, today you will be with me in paradise. And so this second edict that we see in our text is another royal pronouncement that this criminal will also, even though he tastes death, he will also taste eternal life and savor it for all eternity. I love this text because it follows Reformation Sunday too and underscores the truth that we're saved by grace alone. We don't know that this criminal was baptized. We don't know that he did any great works. Probably the greatest work was his profession of faith. So by grace alone, he is given eternal life through his faith alone in Jesus as the true king. And also in Christ alone is his hope for his forgiveness and eternal life. And it's all to the glory of God alone. God gives all, he gets all the thanks and the praise. And of course we see this in Scripture alone. This transference from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of Christ is something that has already happened with us. Imagine going to the emergency room and being in the waiting room, waiting to be called. Perhaps you've been there. Sadly, some of us at some point probably will visit the emergency room. And what do we notice? We notice people of all kinds of backgrounds, different accents, different social statuses. Maybe they're talking about politics and they have different views than you have. Some of them are older. Some of them are younger. But when the great physician calls and we're transferred into his dominion, none of that matters anymore. The great physician isn't going to ask, who did you vote for? The great physician isn't going to care where you grew up or what your income is. The great physician's duty and joy is to bring healing and restoration. We had that same assurance in our text today. We had it at our baptism, when we were baptized in the triune name, and we were transferred into Christ's kingdom and made daughters and sons of the Most High by the water, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And we'll be transferred yet again to the table. And we come to the Lord's table. This isn't St. Luke's table. This isn't even a Christian table. This is the Lord's table, where Christ gives himself to his people in his body and blood, where he assures you and me of his forgiveness, just as he takes the cup, the covenant of his blood, which was shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, even though we often do not know what we are doing. And he also assures us of eternal life. Body and soul will be nurtured and healed with this meal to life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen.